G'day and welcome back to the shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3. Big show this week. Well, a couple of big shows, actually. But to start off, a bit of Queensland stuff. We've had the Nationals a little while ago. I'll talk a little bit about that. We've got some Bullets signings. And, of course, we've had a deep dive into the round that was in the NBL 1. Really, you know, go a little bit deeper on that. But I need someone to do that with. I don't feel as if I can just keep calling you a guest of the show, mate. I feel as if you've probably earned the friend of the show tag. I mean, you know, considering it is your third time here. Every time you come here, the shed changes a little bit. So it's not quite Insta ready yet, but we'll get there. Right, Coach Dean Asplin, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, mate. It's a core memory unlocked now that I'm a friend of the show.
All right. Yeah, I'm spacing on that movie, that Pixar movie now.
Inside Out.
There you go. There it is. Yeah, the guy who loses his mind all the time, I can relate.
Yeah, to good. That one. Yeah. Yeah, good.
All right, mate. Well, it's been a minute. Everything's back in action since you were, last year. Yeah. It's pre-season and everything before when you were last here. But, look, Queensland versus everybody. Can you tell me more?
Yeah, it was so I think since we last spoke, I was lucky enough to travel down to Geelong for the under 20 nationals, which was a great experience, being part of the coaching staff for the women's team there with Jackie and Caddy, and got a pretty good insight at how things work at those tournaments, and had a great time. It was bronze medal, and people say that that's disappointing and this, that, and the other, but I mean, it means you're the third best team in the country. So, the team that beat us in the semi-final, they went on to win at New South Wales. Tommy Gallup coaches them. They are, they're a very good team. They deserve to win it. And, we lost one game a week, but that can change the pathway on which you're going if you win it at the wrong time, if you lose it at the wrong time, So, it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. All right. Well, speaking of Queensland, we better, some stuff has happened. And I keep saying this will be our last time of hitting this button. And God bless them, they keep doing stuff, which means I get to hit it again.
Boom, 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 where the ball is. Boom, 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 from Brisbane down. Boom, 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 where the ball is. We're going to shoot you down.
You know how people have a cringe reaction to their alarm? Mm. Their alarm sound is like PTSD. That's where I'm at with that. So,
oh, really? That bad, is it?
No, it's just... There we go. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Happy to help, mate. Happy to help. Mm-hmm. All right. Bullets, they've made some moves this off season. Obviously, they started with new head coach, new assistant, but during the week, they made a couple of, frankly, crucial signings. Obviously, they got to start signing people. I really like the friend of the show, Isaac White, signing. I think he's come off a really great stretch with Tasmania. Obviously played a little bit more of that backup style role, but had some really, really solid, strong performances where he stepped up into that role really well when it was required of him. And matchup dependence, I think he'll be a really good culture guy, which I know you've harped on about in previous previous visits.
Yep, I have. I think we all knew that there'd be a big clean out and a lot of new people coming in, both on the sidelines and on the court. That'll just naturally happen with a new head coach signing, and him probably one of the bigger ones on the sideline. Him bringing D-Mac up is a really massive signing for the Bullets. I think guys like Isaac are great because they're hungry. They're hungry at that level. And this is opportunity, right? And when you're hungry and that meets opportunity, history tells us that good things happen. So, he kills it in the NBL one, and, we've seen that again so far this year. And hopefully that translates for Bullets fans, that translates over into the NBL season.
Yeah, I noticed you said you didn't say for us, but you said for Bullets fans. So still haven't sold you onto the dark side yet, but hopefully one day. Yeah, look, he came off a not so great NBL one final season switch. First season quite good. Just last year, whatever reasons, it didn't work out. Obviously had the great season down with the Jack Jumpers, and now he's already balling out with Mackay, 40 yep. piece and a 33 in the last game. So, you know, what's that? Averaging 37.5 points a game. You know, I'm going to be really stuck maths wise if he throws that out with a different number in the next in the next round. But, you know, we'll see how we go. Yep. You know, like I said, he's been hustling, and, you know, it's congratulations to him for that hard work, I think, at the moment.
Absolutely, it is. Yep.
Second signing, two Jack Jumpers within 2 hours. It was bang, bang. McDaniels. He's on the 2-year guaranteed deal. Look, I certainly don't mind it. You know, he's not going to be a 3-and-D sort of guy. Hasn't been for the Jack Jumpers. But he does have a fairly decent medium range shot. I think it's not a bad weapon to have. I think as Brisbane Bullets have gotten a little bit into that threes and nothing else at different times. So he'll at least, you know, if he doesn't have that range, he'll want to go inside a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's experience. It's solid. It's someone to steer the group around. He's been in the league for a minute now, and he's played for a couple of teams. I think he played for Melbourne before he went to Tassie. I could be wrong on that, but so he's a known commodity, right? So he's not there to score 40 or 30 or whatever, but the Bullets don't need that. They've got guys who can get shots up. We've seen that. They just needed someone who's a bit of a veteran, who's been around in the league a while, knows how things work, and he's obviously very well respected around the league. So I think it's a good signing. Everybody wants them to get shot blockers or dunkers or scorers, but, you know, anybody who is anybody knows that for teams to win, you need glue guys and you need culture guys and strong veteran presence. And I think that's why they've brought him in.
They also signed Josh Bannon to a 3-year deal, which, look, you know, another big guy. NBL traditionally can have some problems signing imports to longer term deals. So, and, you know, been saying it for years that Brisbane needs to find a big that sort of works, just as a big, you know, just to help facilitate inside shot block, all those sorts of things. So hopefully he can do that. And of course, Andrew White the III re-signing as well. So a little bit more than just the two that I was said earlier, but a couple of re-signings, couple of coaches. So far they're making moves, and look, it's been an enjoyable off season. It hasn't been the just sheer hope fest that was last year's off season. Yeah. But still positive moves, good vibe. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm not, you know, not everything's blowing me out of the water, but I'm okay with that as long as the team gels.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to want to see.
And I think guys like Josh Bannon are really good. Again, it's this idea of opportunity. So he's come from a D1 college and, you know, where this past season he started at all 31 games. Shoots at a good clip from the field, 48% over his college career, which, you know, that's really good. Shoots a three ball as well. But I think it's just someone who, you know, I think from watching the Bullets this past season, when Baines didn't play, or if he was, you know, looking to hang out on the perimeter, they didn't really have someone that they could go to get some really good buckets. You know, Gak was really good at rolling and finishing lobs and stuff like that. He's super athlete. They probably need someone who's a bit more industrious around the rim.
Yep. So look, again, fingers crossed, and we'll just have to wait and see how the Bullies go, but at least they're making moves and not just sitting with.
Yeah.
For a while there, I was genuinely concerned we'd be up to this point of the free agency and things at the end of the season. I was like, okay, are we just gonna just wait and see and hold on to Bainesy and Sobes, and that gonna be it for a while and then panic? But we seem to be making moves slowly and progressively, which makes me think we're actually thinking about it.
And I think it was time to, with that group that they had, that, you know, a couple of those core guys probably needed to find opportunity elsewhere for their own careers as much as for the team. So, you know, Tanner Krebs and guys like Harry Froehling, it's time for them to probably find some opportunity elsewhere if they can. And, you know, best of luck to them. But, you know, the Bullets, you can't keep going with the same stuff over and over again and expect a different result.
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
We've learned that
painfully
throughout the seasons in lots of different levels.
Yeah.
Speaking of levels,
yes,
let's go up a level in my book. That's why it's the NBL one, because it's one better. Not everyone's going to agree with that. No, that's
probably
fine.
Not.
But mate, Caps women,
yes.
You know, up and down start to the season. Right. As we sit here, we've been through two games.
Yeah.
Basically, for game one, obviously they, you know, they took the L.
Yes, they did.
Felt as if they were in it till halftime, and then Wizards got a lead, and it just seemed too much.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can make it as many, not excuses, but you can give as many reasons for whatever. Wizards were just better than us that night. Tiana is unbelievable, you know, and
caught fire,
you know, as usual. Abby did her absolute best, and in the first half was with her, and then we kind of rotated some people through, and you know, we let a couple of people to get their eye in, and you know, it kind of, we made a few lapses defensively, which we've worked on a bit in the couple of sessions after that. And it was also, you know, a group of people getting used to playing with each other again, and a couple of big new ins. And unfortunately, we'd had, you know, one session and then the game as a whole unit. So, you know, it takes a while to get chemistry, and it's a really long season. And, you know, we want to be playing and winning games in late July and August. So it's a really good learning experience to go up against a professional unit. Yes, and they've added some really good players as well. AJ, she's been around for a really long time. She's very, very solid, very strong. Georgia Dale's fantastic in. We were in talks with her before the year. We just couldn't fit her in money-wise. She's a superstar of a person too, so it's really good to see her get some opportunity and be able to make the most of that. And Kelsey McDermott, obviously, she was there last year. She's a superstar, so they've got a lot of good players that they've also added in, and Nadine and Court Woods didn't play that night. So, you know, it's just we weren't good enough on the night, and they were really good. So hats off to them. They'll, you know, and then they backed it up with a good win versus Logan as well, which I'm sure we'll get to. But they're the ones to catch at the moment, right? So it'd be interesting to see how the season goes.
It definitely will. Sort of definitely feels as if I know last year, obviously the Wizards women were in with a shot, but it feels like there's a bit more balance between the men team, that they just were stacked with talent, and the Wizards certainly had some, but it wasn't on the same level this year. It feels a lot more balanced, and feels as if, you know, at least early, they're one of the teams to really chase.
So. Yeah, and I forgot to mention they've added Lil Dart as well, which is another big in. You know, she came across with Dwight from Southern Districts, and you know, she was in the team I went down to Nationals with. So I've been able to see her work ethic and her skill set up close, and you know, she's fantastic. She's a fantastic basketball player and person as well, and a good Carlton Blues supporter, which is always
hard to find.
High stocks. hard to find a good one. but yeah, no, so they'll go really well. They'll be playing when the whips get to cracking. So
beautiful. All right, game two, a little bit different.
Yeah,
you know, very different.
Yeah.
It was actually my little one's first NBL one game.
Saw her there in her Caps jersey.
Yep. And shout out to Steph Collins, who came up, and she obviously, I'd told her before that she was Charlie's favorite player, and she came up and introduced herself. And yeah, well, whenever it was, you know, talked about during the day afterwards, she was just sort of, you know, my little one just sort of froze up with just the biggest smile on her face. So, you know, big thanks to Steph. And then at the, after the women's game, during the men, Anna came and sat with us, and yeah, my little one just jumped on her lap and So she had a great day. She barely watched any basketball, but the basketball she did watch was always, you know, it was always a, you know, tap on the shoulder. Steph's going in, go Steph, this sort of stuff, which, you know, absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. It was a great day. Not for all Caps teams, but you know, your girls had a, you know, really good showing.
They did. And we worked a lot during the week. We put a lot of time into particularly defensively what we wanted to do, and then just polishing our offensive sets. And just through the pure nature of repetition, our girls, particularly our starting group and our top seven or eight, really got a lot of those reps through, which is always super important. And you know, it was nice to not have to be at the Sunshine Coast for a Friday night game. For the last however many years, that's been my feedback to the NRL one at the end of the, playing both Sunshine Coast games at 6:30 on a Friday night is always tough after a day of work for the girls. So, but it was nice to go up there. They always put on a good show. They're a great organization and they're really nice people. So it's really nice to get up there, and the most impressive thing was that we got everybody through and everybody got to play and contribute. And it was good to see Maya get out there and really show a lot of people what she could do after a pretty rough start the first week with a brand new team and only having practiced once. So it was nice to be able to see her get going, and our group really clicked, and we caused them a little bit of trouble and a little bit of frustration, I think, at times. So but they'll bounce back. They got two very, very good bigs, you know, Carly and Steph, and you know, they'll be back. They'll bounce back.
Definitely. One thing I did notice, there was it at halftime and during some timeouts, you know, you've got this team of coaches and staff around the team, despite what, you know, some people might think it's not just you. Mm. Can you talk us through some of the roles of that some of these other, you know, people around you have? Because a lot of people don't necessarily, you know, especially new to the game, you know, potentially understand what it is the other people that are there actually bring to you and how they help the team in those moments.
Absolutely. So they're the actual reason that we tick the way we tick. I'm just bad cop that stands up at the front and, you know, annoys a lot of people and holds people to account and hands out penalties at training. So, you know, Bill obviously
gets the tech fouls occasionally.
Yeah, gets an early shower in week one. So, I mean, Bill, we know Bill. Bill's been on here before as well. Bill's our data man. He's a scientist, so data is right in his wheelhouse, and he looks after our defensive stuff. And then he and Mitch Langford. Mitch has come on this year. He was doing some work with the Bullets during the season, and he's come on, and he's really on that coach's pathway, and he's a fantastic addition. He looks after a lot of the offensive reads within the game. He's watching that side of the ball and really making suggestions in timeouts and, you know, I think we should go at this matchup, or I think we should run this action for this matchup. So we, you know, he looks after a lot of that. And then Sherry, who I've known for a very long time, she coaches a junior rep team at Caps, and she was looking to get more and more into coaching. She played at a high level down in Victoria when she was a bit younger, but she does a lot of stuff around culture and positive mindset and a lot of growth mindset stuff with the girls. So during games, she's tracking it, and she's a teacher as well, so we put our little teachers' hats on, and we kind of came up with a way to measure certain things in terms of body language and reaction to situations, like, say, if foul gets called against us, what's the reaction of player XYZ to the reaction, huddling, picking people up off the floor, all that kind of stuff, just little things that happen within a game that we can look at later on and we can match it with film and say, okay, this was the context of what was happening then, what was the reaction like, and then we can, you know, address that with some players. And, you know, we, as we spoke about last time I was here, we have a whole mentoring program and a program where we look to help the girls holistically to be as good, you know, in terms of their mindset and their mental health, as well as their great basketball skills. So it is absolutely a team effort, and those guys are so good at what they do. Part of the reason we brought those guys in was because, you know, because obviously I inherited the staff that we had last year, and they were great. This year it was very much a point to go out and get people who could bring strengths and who were, you know, on that coaching pathway. And then of course, during the week, we talk a lot, we do film review and, you know, they get tasks within film review and we each have a group of players within the three team program. So NBL One, QSL, Youth League, we have groups of players that we then have touch points with where we can converse with them and show them different things and help them hopefully grow. So no, they're fantastic and they work really, really hard at what they do. And I definitely couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, no, we had some great seats and it generally was nice to just go to a game and not have to talk to everybody about it.
Yep.
And just watch and take it in. And there was one thing I did really notice was there was almost a, during timeouts and especially quarter times sort of situations, there was you and the other coaches would have a mini huddle before the major. Mm. And it wasn't just, you know, one, you weren't just speaking to one person. There was back and forth between all of you, which I just thought was, you know, it was really, you know, really good and interesting and, you know.
So we're fostered in group success. So, you know, group success isn't just the players that suit up every week. We're all a part of that. And for me, success for me as a head coach is giving voice to assistant coaches. And if they want to be on that pathway, giving them opportunity to experience what it's, you know, what it's like game day, to have their, you know, it's good to validate and have the opinions heard and whatnot and have a voice. And then, you know, we enact, most of the time we enact what we talk about in those huddles. It's never, no, that's no good, or no, that's no good. We, you know, we really thrive in those open communication forums because it only pushes our group forward.
All righty. One last question around that before we move it along. Do you have a set sort of, a list of, you know, go-to moment style plays, or are you a draw it up on the fly sort of, you know, situation? If you've got that last 30 seconds, last 20 seconds, you need a play. Do you have someone in the huddle that does that, or do you have a small list of go-to practice moves, or is it this is a matchup I think they're going to run and we can exploit?
Yeah, so we have and part of Mitch's jobs offensively is to be monitoring those offensive mismatches or opportunities throughout the game. So often I will talk to him if I can see it going in a way where we want to get a particular possession. I'll say to him, all right, this is where I think it's going. I want you to think about this. And he's really good. And he's very good offensively with X's and O's. So he will have a think about the stuff that we've already planned during the week. So we will have certain actions that we want to go to. And having an elite point guard like Abby is really good because her understanding of the game is so high that, and she and I, we talk a lot during the course of the game. And it's like, okay, this is where we want to go. This is the action. And she's quite often already on the same page. Like, yeah, we want to do this, this, and this. So it's very much, situation based. We'll know throughout the course of the game, the actions that work well for us and where the mismatches or the particular advantages for us are over the course of the game. And then if it gets close to a last shot or a out of timeouts, we want to run a particular action. We then are able to go through a pre-prepared set or list of actions that we have that we would then be able to execute out of a timeout.
All righty. Well, we've got two games coming up. Obviously, no games over the Easter break. But then two games, Townsville and Cairns. Now, I don't want to get you into a situation where you're adding fuel to the fire or, you know, or anything like that. So let's come at it from a slightly different side. What are some of the strengths that these, you know, two teams you're coming up against sort of have?
Well, Townsville are reigning champs, right? So even though some players have moved on, it's a very well-run association. So you can never go there, particularly going there and playing there. Mm-hmm. You can never go there saying, oh, this player's not playing and this player's not playing. You know, Steph will be back from Oz camp. And so things will just automatically run a lot smoother. She gets everybody on the right page and on the right wavelength. So Townsville's a really hard place to play. And the crowds that they get there fantastic. They talk a lot of trash, which is great. You know, it's a great environment. Even the little kids, the primary school kids, they'll talk a lot of trash to you. It's great. Like, it's a good environment, but it's all lighthearted. It's never aggressive or inappropriate in any way. And then Cairns, we play Cairns first on the Friday night. I mean, Penina is fantastic. You've seen that from the numbers from the first two games. She's, you know, she's an elite level player, particularly at NBL one. And we'll have a lot of planning and practicing and scheming to do as a coaching staff to have our girls ready and firing for that North road trip. I mean, in saying that, our girls have got the rest of the week off. We don't train again till next Monday, so they can. Some of them are going home over the Easter break. Some of them are just having some downtime, some non-basketball stuff. One of our girls is going to a New Zealand youth camp. She's going down the New Zealand national pathway. And then two girls are preparing for under 18 nationals. So bit of time off from us just to regroup, reset before we go away on a fairly hectic road trip.
Yeah. Can't wait. I'll be along for the ride this time. So,
excellent. We love that.
Well, it'll be genuinely great to sit in some of these stadiums and just soak it all in.
They're both of those stadiums, actually. And you know, in Cairns, it's fantastic because everybody comes out and there's a, you know, it's a really good community feel. And everyone, you know, even opposition after the game, you share a meal together and it's a great time. It's really nice.
Well, hopefully pizza or whatever the food is up to snuff because, you know, us Caps put on a good show.
Oh, it's a really big barbecue. It's a really good feed. It's a really good feed.
All right. Well, look, let's jump into some bit of a look at the second round of the NBL one. We've a few games and different things to get through. We'll probably hit every game, but we won't necessarily deep dive every single one. Let's start with the let's start as they play. We'll do the women first. Mm-hmm. Mackay and Townsville. Mackay got this one done, 90-69. Obviously no Steph. You've got Gazy, though, really stood up in this one. She's had a couple of good games in the absence of some of the, of Steph Reed, mm-hmm. in that sense. 20 points and matching that as well with 5 assists.
Yep.
Really solid, but Bobongi for Mackay, though, absolutely monstering as well as Dale.
Yep.
26 and 18 and, you know, and some other contributions elsewhere as well to really stretch that one out.
Yep.
Getting that one done. North side took down Logan, but yeah, really pulled them apart in that one. Logan got out early, but Northside Wizards just brought that one home over the last two quarters.
Yeah,
quarter three.
Yeah, Courtney Wood showing why she's an elite talent. You know, the 28-9-7 with 3 steals as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great game. And Nadine just back from Vietnam. I think she'd been off the plane for a day. Chipped straight in and AJ, of course. So, I mean, when the live stream finally worked, it was pretty good contest to watch the bits that I watched. And I'm sure Logan will be, you know, Ruth was here for a little bit before she went home for a little bit to see her family. So mm-hmm. she thought she'd play the game and, you know, she still played well. 14 rebounds is, you know, it could be low for her, but, you know, it's interesting seeing how, and you look at, I mean, it's only 2 games or 3 games for a couple of teams, but you look at the ladder now and the ladder from last year, the end of last year to the first couple of rounds, it's very different. There's a couple of teams there that, you know, hopefully they want hope to continue that throughout the year.
Yeah. And it'll definitely be interesting to see how, you know, what Roofy we get, in the sense of, is she just going to be still filthy on missing out on the MVP from last year, or is she going to use the grand final loss as motivation? Like what sort of thing is she going to use as motivation?
What I will say there about her, and then not just because she's my mate, but because this is from a basketball perspective, for some reason she is so underrated and almost disrespected by a lot of people within basketball. Those who know anything about basketball see how great she is. She's a winner. She impacts not only culture, but also on-court results. And I watched a couple of things throughout the WNBL season, and then obviously last season in the NBL one, in the season awards and all that kind of stuff. And I don't understand it. No. She's so good. She is so good. And she is just, you know, not appreciated by a lot of people. And it's criminal. I don't get fired up about much, but that's probably one of them, you know.
It is. And I agree. I can't disagree with that. Yeah. She's, we talked about it on the show. We had our reactions to it at the time. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully we can sit down at the end of this season and not have to have the same reactions once more. But
yeah, well, we'll see.
We'll see how that goes. Gold Coast and Ipswich. Gold Coast got this one done.
Yeah.
Really pumped it out there. Was it Moura?
Yep. So she came across from Red City.
Yeah.
Last year, she's certainly a stat stuffer. You look at that line, 21 rebounds for a girl of her stature. She's not tall,
no.
But she's a very hard worker, and she plays every possession really hard. She's very into the game, very passionate about it. And what I will say about her also is she's such a great person. She's very polite, always very humble. So it's good to see her doing well and getting a chance to play with a team that are doing well, surprising a lot of people. Jackie's doing a really great job down there. So,
yeah, they were my almost league pass style team. You know, a game you got to really look out for, and you know, be a good fun watch. And yeah, 21, a rare 21 points, 21 rebounds. So a 20-20 game.
Yeah,
you know, just baller move, baller.
She's great, and only two turnovers too. And as a point guard, you know, some of them are prone to a few TOs. So that's a really solid game. Good for her.
Definitely is getting the W for the Rollers. Excuse me, Southern District Spartans took on the Sunshine Coast Phoenix in a tight one. 82-79 finish on this one, and it was 16 apiece in the fourth quarter.
Should have gone to overtime. I don't know if you saw the footage or the still photos afterwards. Should have gone to overtime.
Should have gone to overtime. But, you know, here we are. Yeah. Here we are. You know,
the term daylight robbery has been thrown around, but, you know, it's whatever. I've said that to a couple of girls who play the team, and it's, you know, we had a good laugh and a good joke about it. But, geez, you'd be filthy if you were coaching Sunshine Coast, wouldn't you? Oh, you'd be filthy. Oh, well.
Yeah, Matty Allen with a huge, you know, 31 points
in
that one. Again, following up with 9 rebounds. But, yeah, as you say, it is what it is. But Spartans getting the W. Hopefully that one doesn't come back to bite Phoenix too badly. Obviously they're fighting to not have the wooden spoon.
Yep.
So, look, any W at this point is going to be one that they're going to be after.
You expect those calls at home, right? You expect to get the rub of the green at home. And yeah, no, I mean, look, you got to win it, don't you? You know, and you got to make the shot. So regardless of what happened, you still got to hit the shot.
Yep.
And she did. She's been around for a long time playing really good basketball. So, yeah.
All righty. The Ship, Southwest Metro Pirates, 81 over Red City Roar, 68. So, yeah, look, Leah Scott, you know, just sort of doing Leah Scott style things, filling it up points wise and rebound wise, and
5 assists, 6 steals as well. So,
yeah,
you know, she's playing at an MVP top level these first couple of weeks. So, I know Leah really well. So it's good to see her at a place where, you know, she's feeling happy, she's feeling comfortable and confident. And you know, the on-court results are coming through. So, and they did that without Lulu playing as well. She was away for the week. So, she started the week before, and, you know, so it was good to see them continue that form, but, let's see if they can keep that going for.
Yeah. Look, could be a tough season for Red City. Could be a tough season.
Yeah, I think so. And you hate to see it, but, you know, they'll turn up every week, and they'll play. One thing about them is they may not win heaps of games, but they'll play hard. You know, Cass really has them playing hard, so which is, you know, that's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah, look, and you know, you can't be too down on them. I mean, you did take a couple of their players for your team from last year, so
I mean, I didn't take.
Of course not. Of course not. You know, we don't live in that world anymore.
No, like,
we don't. All righty. Rocky Cyclones, 74, again, over the Townsville Flames, 74-58. So, look, Mixed Bads, great friend of the show, 26 points in this one, 17 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals, but a couple of blocks in there as well. Yep. So, classic, almost a classic Mixed Bads style game for Rocky, not necessarily last year, but year before, she was pulling out huge stat lines and different things. Last year, a little bit more down with a more, you know, sporadic style, really show outs, but it's nice to see her.
I wonder if she was carrying an injury that we didn't know about last year, because she certainly, I've been high on her for a while, and last year it just seemed like she just wasn't moving as well or playing as well. But it's, so it's really good to see her back, you know, to that form and playing like we do. And this Bowman that they've got in looks like a real goer. She had a really good game last weekend versus Mackay, that kind of put a lot of people on notice, and then followed up this week with, you know, 14 and 21
rebounds.
Yeah, so that's another 20 rebound game like she had last week. So, mm-hmm. you know, she's obviously a hard worker and someone for opposing coaches to to watch a bit of film.
I hope you are. All righty. 79 point Darwin Salties. They scored 79 points in a win over the Cairns Dolphins, who only had 64. But you know, you talked about it before, Penina Davidson. 24 points, again, 19 rebounds. There's some big rebound stat lines this week. It's been good to see. Yeah, look, just a really solid performance in the end by Darwin, able to get this one done.
They've recruited really well. Coach has gone really well. And, you know, a couple of Brizzy girls are going on there, one from the Goldie. So it's good to see Kat McGregor getting some buckets up there after a slow start last weekend. And just a quick shout out to Claire Marie Hunt. She did a shoulder and AC joint in that game. So I know her pretty well. I've coached her when she was at RIP. And I know her husband, Maddie, who's an assistant for the women as well. And so hopefully that doesn't keep her out too long.
No, wishing obviously a speedy recovery. Yeah, from the press release the Salties put out, there's no real timeline as yet. No. So fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. All righty. And then, of course, we're out of the Sunday game where Rip City unable to get it done against the Brisbane Capitals, which we obviously talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
but Maya Lloyd leading the charge there, points and rebounds. And no surprise on the other side of the coin, Carly Smith, 23.7 rebounds for her. And just, that corner three, was it 2 out of 3?
Yeah, she was
offensive sets, pretty, just bang, bang.
Yeah.
Do those sort of things annoy when they happen right in front of your bench, like almost back-to-back players?
Well, I mean, we closed out to them. We did what we did, and she just made a good shot. And I even said to her, and Steph hit one in front of us, Steph Besto as well in front of us. And, you know, it's because I know them both. I said to them, great shot. Our defender was there. They did what they were supposed to do, but, you know, they did what they were supposed to do and make a shot. So hopefully they make a few more against other people.
All righty. And I believe we're round to the final game for the women's round. North Gold Coast Seahawks unable to take down the North Side Wizards. Battle the Norths, 65-92. Wizards up. Nadine Payne straight in, 24 points. AJ led that one with 9 rebounds. But Courtney Woods jumped in and, you know, played quite well across this one.
You'd want her in your fantasy team if NBL 1 did fantasy. Super coach, you'd want her in. Mm-hmm. She's there's 2 good games where she would have earned the coach a lot of points. So no, good for her. Good for her to keep that WNBL form.
Yeah, 21-8-5-2. No blocks, but you know, everyone needs room to grow early in the season.
Come on, Woodsy.
All right, we've done the champagne of the NBL 1 in the women's side. Now let's get to the other stuff. Let's just call it the other stuff. All righty, over on the men's side, Mackay got it done over the Townsville Heat. And they basically did it in the first 2 quarters, this one. It knocked it out early, and then finished, came home strong. Another monster Isaac White performance, which he alluded to.
Absolutely.
34 points, as we talked about off air, 8 steals. Mm. That's just, you know, it's defense. Offense strangling when you've got a guy who can do that.
That's right.
You know, you're just instantly on the back foot, and that's exactly what happened to the Heat. They awkwardly couldn't stand the heat in Mackay, and gone. Moving along though. Northside Wizards and 90 points over the Logan Thunder. It's as if, I don't know. It's as if they've, you know, got some footage or something, something a little bit extra on the Logan team. Able to get it done. Again, similarly, in those first two quarters. Logan came home with a little bit of a push at the end, but just a little bit a little bit too much to get done. A
couple of nice dunks, I think, in that game as well.
There's quite a few games where you're almost always on, you know, dunk swivel.
Yeah, that's
swivel cam. And Northside is going to be one of those teams.
Absolutely, they got some absolute athletes.
Mm-hmm. Mitch Young for Logan with 23 points, but the real stat line that stood out for me was Wizards, all 5 of the starters plus one of your bench guys, Ian Richardson, were able to get into double figures. Yeah, did it by committee.
Yep.
Logan weren't able to do the same sort of committee situation and came up a little bit short. But, strong performance there by the Wizards to get that one done. Next game, Gold Coast Rollers. Got rolled by the Ipswich Force, just force of nature there in over in the Switch. That one was at the Coast. But yeah, Jason Kadee, a triple double, still not able to get it done.
Couldn't drag him over the line, could he?
Unfortunately, not for them. And from all reports, Sobey was a bit grumpy in that game, but
what's new?
Well, this is true.
I mean, the guys that you bring in on money at Ipswich did what they paid to do. So the Galloways both played really well. Kyron 28-6. His brother had 17-8, and then Sobes 26-6-6, and Deng 20-9. Like, that's why you bring those guys in to get them all going, and you know they're going to be a handful for anyone.
Yep. Yeah. And like we said, Kadee, 21, 12, 12, and then 2 steals on top. And in the end, wasn't close. Monster second and third quarters there for the Switch, and just able to really punch it out, get this one done.
The mayor of NBL 1 is Jason Kadee. he just wins. He's just really good.
He certainly is. Southern District Spartans unable to get this one done against the Sunshine Coast Phoenix. 73-86. Phoenix up on this one. And just a really sort of solid performance by the Phoenix. Really came out in that first quarter. 31 point first quarter. Yeah. I mean, that really set the tone for them. Spartans tried what they did to come back, but it was all just a bit too much.
Sunny Coast is just a really good unit. They just have guys who just have played together for a while. They don't have huge names. They've just got guys who can play, and they do that really well. But another, you know, a big reason for that is Kobe McDowell-White. Unfortunately, he's ended up with a bit of a fracture in the back of his leg there. So he only played 5 minutes. So, you know, that's always tough to play without him, but we do wish him well, speedy recovery, because it looks like it could be a little while. Yeah.
Always tough. And Southern Districts were in, you know, a bit of a rebuild there as well to begin with. So, yeah. All right. Southwest Metro Pirates, unable to get it done against a Red City Roar team who just came out and left it all on the table. They didn't necessarily start with a big lead. They had a big second and third quarter and just held the Pirates at the ship. But you know, Woodfall and Tees, both 20 points each. Lamar, 19, 6, and 7. Unable to get over. We had Key, Larkins, and was it Mertaz, who was just outside the 20-point game. But, yeah, big performances from Red City Raw.
Shout out Nelson Larkins. I mean, guy of his stature, he's just been getting it done. 8 rebounds. You know, he gets after it. Couple of steals, couple of assists. You know, he's he's just getting it done, and you know, he's again going to be a guy who is going to do everything he can every game to carry them as close to winning it as they can.
Yeah, and look, you know, I didn't necessarily have Red City Raw, you know, down for winning a whole heap of games this season, but getting it done over Southwest Metro Pirates.
So I think they got an import coming in, so we'll see how they go with that one.
Definitely. All righty. Oh, Rockhampton Rockets.
You're going to say Rockingham then?
Oh, I nearly did, yeah. I did. DeAndre Walker's having an absolute baller time over there.
Yeah.
Player of the week last week, I believe. All right. No. Let's try that again because I almost did it again. Rockhampton Rockets, 102. Townsville Heat, 103.
What a game.
Tight. As you like, just really solid. You know, huge performance by McCulloch, 36, 4, 4, 1, and 1. And, you know, just still on the losing side of this one. You know, and Rockhampton, I'm going to get that right eventually, came into the fourth quarter being down by 12. Scored an extra 11 on their opponents in the fourth, but wasn't enough. So, you know, really just tough.
Yeah,
really tough one for them. But again, it just shows the importance. The NBA one isn't the NBA. You know, first quarter leads and second quarter leads do matter a lot.
Yeah.
And unable to get this one done. Were the Rockets just keep steering into that, but anyway, Townsville Heat able to get this one done for a nice little win. Speaking of leads going into the fourth quarter, though, Darwin Salties came up short in this one, 87-90. Cairns Marlins got this one done, and unfortunately, they did make this one feel a little bit more like an NBA style game,
right?
Because Darwin came out 10-point lead after the first quarter. They then put in another 9 on the Marlins. And then Marlins turned it on with a 33-point fourth quarter. Darwin could only muster 13 points in the end.
Yeah, it's tough.
And, yeah, just yowzers. Unable to get it done. Tough to see. But, you know, Malawatch with 23, McDonald with 25. But four Cairns, your strong core unit there of your starting five, Antonio, Duffelmeyer, Wang and Statman, all combining with Drinnen, came on off the bench with an extra 17. You know, big numbers across the game, huge fourth quarter, just to get it done on the road as well. That really must have taken the air out of the Salties building, to be honest. But, you know, that's life. Moving along, Rip City, unfortunately, just a bit better on the day over the Brizzy Caps.
Yeah, absolutely.
This one really sort of, you know, we were both live for this one.
We were.
Fourth quarter, start of the fourth, it really felt like it was sort of going down this exact road, and it did.
Yeah, it did.
Eric McAllister caught fire towards the end there, just raining threes.
Yeah, I think he hit maybe two or three from the same spot with a hand in his face.
Yeah, you know? Didn't matter.
But, you know, Wood, he did what imports are supposed to do, 22, 5, and 11, couple of steals. You know, that's what imports are supposed to do. And then, of course, Matty Kenyon, you know, who's played in the NBL for a while now, you know, he's a Sunny Coast fella. So, you know, it's good to see him back there. And, you know, 21 and 11, that's, you know, three couple of steals. You know, he's an elite perimeter defender. So,
yep.
They got a nice score together. Nate's put a pretty good score together up there, and they'll be interesting to watch. They play really hard, really fast, really physical. Again, they'll be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, and from what I hear, another piece yet to add. So,
yeah,
gonna be interesting.
Yeah, well, Kawhi will be back. Yeah, so
yeah. You know, we'll
when
he comes in with his energy,
yowzers.
All right. North Gold Coast took on the North Side Wizards again. Battle of the North. Wizards were unable to get this one done though. The Seahawks really post to post winner. Won every quarter of this game.
Yeah.
Just got out to it early. Didn't allow Wizards back into it. You know, White was good with a, you know, it's almost you're expecting 20 plus from him. You're getting that, that in this game. But yeah, not everybody else was able to, really nothing from the bench, in this one.
Yeah, that 17 points or whatever it was off the bench the other night that they had, the first game of the weekend, you know, that would have helped them there obviously. And, you know, Josh Leaney, he had a couple of, you know, buckets and rebounds on the first game of the weekend and then absolute donuts in 12 minutes. So, I mean, that's a struggle for the poor fella because, you know, he would have been full of confidence after the first game of the doubleheader against against good opposition and then, you know, just fell a bit short. So that there are a few holes there that they probably want to plug and get some consistency in their guys. But, again, they'll be there at the business end of the season.
Yeah, just a little bit of work to do, but it is only round two. Well, we've wrapped up round two now. Yep. We're not going to do a ladder look just yet. It's
too early.
Yeah, no real point. In that sense, it's just going to give us false leads, false hopes, whatever. You know, it's not real data yet.
Not
real data yet. But that's going to wrap us up for our first show of the week. First show back after a little break last week, mate. Thanks for coming in.
No worries.
Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
And let's wrap it up nice and quickly. If you are on the socials, please do give us the follows and the likes and all that kind of stuff. If you are listening on a podcast streaming service that allows those 5-star reviews, please do go ahead and do that. But until you're hearing from us again, just remember that ball don't lie.